Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
Kristen and I are going to be talking about sibling rivalry today. And I just want to start out by welcoming everybody and thanking you for taking the time to hear what we have to say. Whether you're on the call live or you're relying on the call recording, we appreciate you giving us your time and hope that we have some things to share today that are going to be really helpful at your house. So today we're going to, Kristen's going to share her experience and journey with sibling rivalry. And we're going to talk a little bit about the many different resources that Hand in Hand has available to make sibling rivalry easier at your house. And then we're going to take questions. And so let me start out by introducing Kristen Volk. Kristen's in Denver. Kristen has been teaching with Hand in Hand for, 3 years now?
Yes.
Four?
I took certification 4 years ago.
Great. Kristen's the mother of two, which explains our topic today. And Kristen has been leading classes and workshops both in Denver and online for a while now. So, Kristen, is there anything else you'd like to share about your family before we get started?
You know, maybe I'll just add, too, that I'm a single parent. My son has special needs, and my children also experienced some significant trauma when they were really young. And I'm sharing that mostly just so you understand that things were pretty intense in our home. And I've just utilized these tools quite extensively to support my children sort of having a different experience and working on connection. And we'll talk more about what all that means, but I think it's just helpful to understand that we come from, you know, some challenging stuff for sure.
Yeah, that's what many, many parents turn to Hand in Hand when they're faced with challenges that just aren't addressed in many different parenting approaches. So I think one of the things that we really offer parents at Hand in Hand is a way to work on their own level of stress and a way to get lots of support when you really need it. So Kristen, you want to take it away? What made you interested in sibling rivalry in the first place? When did you first notice it?
Oh, when did I first notice it? I don't know. You know, I think it was more of an issue of I just assumed that's how children were. Like, I was raised in a family where I fought with my siblings a lot. It was constant. And I just thought, you know, I didn't like it. But I just thought that was normal. And so it was much more, I think, of a situation that I didn't want that for my own family. Like, I couldn't handle that as a parent very well. Mm. And I wanted my children to have a different experience, too, than this constant fighting and just rivalry against each other. Like, I didn't want that mentality in my home. So Hand in Hand has been extremely helpful with that. Yeah, so should I get started?
Sure.
Okay. And Julie, how long would you like me to go with this section before we get into like resources and so forth? What do you want me to cut off? Because
around 1:35 will show.
Okay. Okay. Sounds great. Thank you. Okay. So there's again, you know, also I say thank you for joining me and for all the care and hard work that you put into your children and supporting your relationship with them and their relationship with each other too. It's important work. So thank you for taking the time to be here. So there's two main things that I'm going to talk about today. The first thing, and this is where I'll spend most of my time, is why sibling rivalry happens in the first place. So it's important to understand because it really helps to really kind of work on a paradigm shift on how we actually relate to our children and how we can support the relationships within our family as well. And then the second piece that I will be talking about is I would like to, you know, give you a tool or two that you can take away from this call to support more harmonious relationships in your family. So as sort of a first step, and then Julie will talk about what additional resources that Hand in Hand offers too. So the first thing in terms of why sibling rivalry happens, when children come into the world, they're hardwired to connect with us. And that connection that happens between the parent and the child is actually mostly nonverbal. And this can be hard for us to understand in our culture that we are a very highly verbal culture. But what happens is that children are helpless when they're born into this world. And when they're young and throughout, you know, most of their childhood, they're very helpless, but especially when they're very, very young and they're vulnerable and very helpless. And so what happens is that they are hardwired to connect with us because it's our attention on our children that allows them to function well. It's our beaming our delight and joy on our children that allows their brain to say, oh, my world is good. My life is good. I love the people around me. I can think well. And in fact, it promotes brain development. And in fact, children's brains develop in relationship with a caring adult. Their brains don't develop in a vacuum. We actually used to think that decades ago. But we know now that children's brains develop in relationship with a caring adult. And it's in that relationship, especially the nonverbal signals that are shared between the parent and the child. And these nonverbal signals are things like warm, soft eye contact, relaxed facial features, the how fast or slow we move. These are the things that signal to a child that they're safe and their life is good and they can develop well. And it also is what makes them feel that, you know, the people around them are good people and they're also a good person as well. And so, you know, really understanding how important that, so what we say Hand in Hand is that connection is vital. It's really vital to their development, and it's vital for children to feel that connection in order to have good, strong relationships with their siblings as well. It really starts with their individual connection with us is the foundational piece. Because what can happen is that when connection breaks, is that then children can't think very well, and it's hard for them to have good relationships with their siblings. So, and in fact, it's important to understand about connection breaking because we live in a world that is very stressful, and we also are typically, as parents, we're multitasking a lot, and connection can break a lot. It's normal for connection to break. And connection can break for our children, and it can also break for us. So for an example, just to give you some typical examples, you know, all you need to do is, especially with a really young child, is pick up the phone. You know, you might be paying attention to your child, and you pick up the phone, and before the person answers on the other end, you have a child who's wailing because they know that your attention has shifted away from them. And the part of their brain that's called the limbic brain, or the mammalian brain, it's also called, is responsible for sensing into us how connected we are with the child. Because the child needs to know that we can be attuned to them to care for their needs. And so when we focus our attention away from the child, then their limbic brain knows that we don't have as much attention to share with them. And this can easily come into play relative to siblings too, because children really need 100% of our connection, of our availability. Really, really young children, especially like 1, 2, 3 years old, once they start getting a little bit older beyond that, they don't need as much of our attention, even though they still need it. But when they're really young and so vulnerable, they need a lot of attention. And so it's really important for us to understand that. And what can happen with siblings too is that, you know, when you start having a second child or a third child or how many you have, you obviously have to start attending to more than one child. And so what the children start to recognize is, you know, when you turn to cut someone, their sibling's sandwich, they're noticing that they're not having your connection. And when you're doing chores, when you're supporting other members of the family, they're noticing that they don't have your attention. They don't have your connection. And so what can happen is that they can associate your attention on another child to sort of developing a rivalry against that child. Like they become sort of the reason why you can't focus your attention on them. And I do want to say that, you know, obviously we can't focus 100% of our attention on our children. We have lots of things to do. And this is where our tools can be extremely helpful, because they can really deliver very consciously and in a powerful way our attention that helps to fill up their sense of connection. And we'll have a little bit of time to get to that, but that's really what hand-in-hand tools are about too. And so I go back to the connection breaks, and that is a normal part of life for children, and they also have big feelings when connection breaks. So when we turn our attention away from a child, they're going to have big feelings about that. And so what hand-in-hand tools are about is about bringing connection back to the child, but also letting the child have their big feelings, to actually offload those big feelings so those feelings don't get in the way of the child functioning well, because they've fully processed those feelings. And I just want to give a couple more examples too of how connection can break, because it can break on both sides of the relationship. So sometimes we're offering connection to the child, but the child might be frustrated, angry, or disappointed. They actually can't take our connection in. And we don't oftentimes notice that as adults, that they're not able to take that in. And other times we might think that we're offering connection, like we're talking to our child, yes, sweetheart, that's a great picture, as we're texting a message on our phone. And so we think we're offering connection, but our children interpret that as a break in connection, as you not being fully available as the adult and in the connection that they so desperately need in order to develop well and in order to function well too. And so it's also important for us to recognize that that parenting in general is not very supported or valued in our society. And so what can happen a lot, too, is that parents can become very isolated due to that lack of support. And it makes it really hard. You know, we're trying to balance so many things in our lives, and it makes it really hard for one or two parents to be fully present to provide children with what they need all the time. And so we end up, we fall short a lot, and then we start to feel guilty, too, because if we're washing the dishes, we think we should be with our children. But if we're with our children, we think we should be washing the dishes. So in that sense, we start to self-sabotage ourselves. But the issue is that it's really not our fault. We really can't do everything for each of our children. It's just really impossible to be on 100% of the time, every day, day after day. We just can't do it. And again, this is where our tools help us, but what happens is that when we're tired or we're upset or we're worried or angry, it's hard for us to be part of a good solution, of a real solution when it comes to, well, sibling rivalry or all of parenting, quite truthfully. And so what happens is we end up muddling through things, but we don't necessarily always have a clear mind on how things should work or what we should be doing. And we have a tool for that, which hopefully I'll have a little bit of time to talk about in a moment, but that's Listening Partnerships for Parents, where we have a place to talk about what's hard about parenting, and we can share support with one another, with another parent, about what's hard. So we have a place to put our worries and our fears and our challenges to relative to parenting, which is a huge piece. And in fact, you know, when I mentioned at the beginning of the call, maybe I'll just talk about this a little bit more. I think when I talked at the beginning of the call about when I grew up, there were three of us, and we didn't get along at all. As adults, we do fine, but as children, it was very, very challenging. We fought constantly. And so what happens is that I have a lot of hard memories about growing up. And what happens is that when our children are growing up, and in fact, what happens is that when my children are a certain age, it's very typical that memories, my own memories when I was that age, come into play. They sort of play in my background. It's very, very typical for that to happen. And so one of the many reasons that Listening Partnerships for Parents can be helpful is that I can start to work on some of those hard memories. Because when I have those memories, you know, flooding me in the background or there in the background, and I'm trying to work with my own children or trying to connect with them, or say my children get in a fight, it's really hard for me to have patience and to have a good, you know, presence of being, a good quality of presence, when I have that kind of, those kinds of images and memories and thoughts running, racing around in the background of my own mind. And so what I've done a lot in Listening Partnerships is really work on what's been hard about my own growing up experience, what sibling rivalry was like for me growing up, how I felt about the relationship between my parents and the three children, and what things I felt like were unfair, if I felt like I was heard or listened to or not, and just the, like, different challenges that I had around that in my Listening Partnership. So I can really work on, you know, crying about, you know, times that I got really hurt or I got blamed for something and it really wasn't my fault or it wasn't fair. I was just a child. I had no idea. And by working on those feelings that I had from growing up, then I can cry about how hard it was, but then I can also, at a different time, when my children are having a hard time, I can approach them with a much better quality of presence without having so much sort of chatter in my own mind, in the background of my mind. about what's going on with them. I don't get triggered, or we call it actually re-stimulation, as easily. And I can work on supporting my kids in their connection with me and their connection with each other as well. And so it's a very, very powerful tool, and a powerful way of us as family leaders being able to work, just to work on what's hard about parenting and show up in a different way, and to show up with more presence, to show up with more patience, and to show up to be more of a support in the relationship rather than bringing our own difficult history into the relationship. So it's a very important piece of that. So
Kristen,
yes.
If I understand what you're saying, say you were the youngest and
yes. And I
felt
was.
Left out. Oh, were you? I didn't know that. Say you, this is as the parent, when I was a child, this was my experience, that I'm the youngest and I always feel left out when my older siblings get to do things or talk about things or be part of things. And then I grow up, I have kids of my own, and I notice it drives me crazy if my son leaves his little sister out of things.
Yes, yes.
So you're saying that our experience of sibling issues as children is what's driving the stress around our children's own issues?
Well, it creates tension within myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so when my children start to, so say your son doesn't include the daughter, that can actually trigger or re-stimulate my own history. And again, as I was the youngest, of being left out or being not included. So those, and this is what we call the emotional backpack. So hard things that happen like that didn't get healed or didn't get supported or listened to, they get stored in the emotional backpack. And so then current situations with my own children can bring those things up from my emotional backpack. And so it makes it really hard for me to, you know, intervene and be a connecting force in the relationship if I'm actually, you know, having all those old feelings come up myself. So, and that's a perfect example. And I was the youngest, so I do have this tendency to like make sure, you know, the youngest child is never excluded and always included and never gets shorted on anything. And but that's really my stuff. It doesn't allow me then to focus on what's going on with the current relationship and how to be.
But you're dealing with. You're dealing with two problems at the same time.
Correct.
One of them right in front of you with the kids and one of them in the past.
Correct.
So it's doubly challenging.
Yeah. And so no wonder why parenting is so hard. it's hard to expect we're going to be, you know, super smart, super on, know exactly what to do. And in fact, what happens is that, you know, one of the foundational neuroscience pieces of Hand in Hand is that when we start to get re-stimulated or triggered about our past events that happened in our life, our limbic brain gets flooded and it shuts off the thinking part of our brain, the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain that has judgment and impulse control. They go offline, so we actually can't think very well about what to do. And I've definitely noticed that with myself, where I can get confused, I'm lost, or I want to go into a rage, too, is something that can happen because, you know, I didn't have that opportunity when I was younger. And I did get, you know, sort of pushed aside as the youngest child, for example. So it's a lot for a parent to deal with, and that's where getting support for yourself in listening partnerships can be hugely valuable, because you can start to share with another warm, caring adult what these specific situations were in your childhood or in our own childhood so that we don't bring them to our kids and in many ways give them to our kids, which is very typical too. We don't enmesh, you know, currently what's going on today with our own historical past.
Right.
Which is a huge, huge piece for sure with sibling rivalry and any aspect of parenting, quite truthfully. So getting support for ourselves is, I mean, it's one of the things that Hand in Hand has helped me with a lot is to be able to say to myself, well, of course I need support. Like, it's crazy for me to think I can do this all by myself. It's crazy for me to think that, you know, I can affect this relationship between my children if I didn't have a good relationship with my own siblings when I was a child. Like, I can't do that alone. And so I am going to find listening partnerships and I am going to have these supportive relationships so that I can shift what's going on inside of me internally. So I appreciate that question. Yeah. And so, so what else can happen with children too is that, these hurts that children have, you know, there's going to be, we've talked about connection can break and that's, it's a normal part of life and that parents in many cases are overwhelmed too, but we're also, you know, under-supported and parenting isn't valued and we can't do everything, that parenting is too much of a job for one or two people. And so what happens with children is that, you know, all these times that we couldn't give them the attention that they really needed, they start to really kind of build up for a child. And that's what that emotional backpack is that I talked about for the adults. Children also form this emotional backpack. And it's really this backpack of hard things that have happened that haven't been listened to, that haven't healed, for example. And in fact, relative to sibling rivalry, what can happen is that, you know, if a child needed us, they really, really wanted our attention and we were not available, that feeling of need, that feeling of needing our attention can get frozen in their emotional system. And that's something that, for example, can go into the emotional backpack. And so what can happen in sibling relationships is I'm going to also say that those, you know, there can be many frozen feelings of need that get built up too over time, because there's usually not just one. There's usually lots of times that children needed us and we just weren't available. And so what can happen then is these frozen feelings of need be built up and that children can react to those frozen feelings of need as well. So, you know, just for example, say they're just a child, you know, wants your attention, but say they're a little older, they're more like 4 or 5 years old, and you're attending to the baby at that point in time, and then the child, really want to show you a picture or a drawing, and it feels like the sibling is getting all your attention. And so the 4 or 5 year old, you know, this disappointment comes up for them. And so what can happen when that disappointment comes up relative to the emotional backpack is that past disappointments can come up with it too. And so the child can have, you know, a really big, big reaction to, you know, you trying to gaze at the picture, but you did it half-heartedly because you're doing, you know, you're cooking and feeding the baby at the same time. And these feelings of disappointment from their past and present can all come up at once. And these can oftentimes then be directed to at a sibling, or the child will wait for, so let me go back for a second. So when a feeling like that, this is a good example, because when a feeling like that comes up, this process that I talked about for the adult can also happen, will also happen for the child. So a feeling of disappointment comes up into the limbic brain, and the brain gets flooded with this feeling, and it shuts off the thinking part of the brain. So it sends a signal to the prefrontal cortex that's responsible for impulse control. So that's that means that the child doesn't necessarily have the control to, you know, not run over and hit the baby, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have good judgment. The prefrontal cortex is also where they have judgment or planning, so they can't make good decisions about what's appropriate to do in that moment. And so we oftentimes just call that the thinking part of the brain. And the child doesn't have access to that. So this is the moment when they do nutty, crazy things. They might throw something across the table or spill their drink. And we look at the child and said, you just did that on purpose. And it might look like that, but really what's going on is that the child is having this moment that he can't think because he's being flooded with big feelings, basically. And also when a child gets flooded with these big feelings, they can't think well about their siblings. So this is when they might say, you know, my sister's a poopy head. You know, they might start calling names or say something that, you know, every parent doesn't want to hear about the two siblings. And they also have a hard time thinking well about themselves, too, when their limbic brain is flooded and their thinking isn't working. And so this is just another example, too, of how us as parents, when we have these intense moments, sometimes our thinking can go awry because it's really challenging to handle these situations. And the way we think about it at hand-in-hand parenting is that we think about it as resource. Like, how resourced are you as a parent? Do you get listened to regularly? Because if you get listened to regularly, you have more access to, like, internal resources to be able to handle the situation with connection rather than, you know, blowing up or going into a rage. And so just another reason why listening partnerships, what that can do is it helps to build up our internal resources so we can recognize really what's going on, that our the older child is having this moment where he can't think and he really needs a limit rather than trying to figure out, why did you do that? What's wrong with you? Like, these are typical thoughts that might enter our mind when we can't think, whereas what's really more helpful is to set a kind, warm limit and letting the child know that we're in charge of safety in the home, and we can support, and in fact, by setting limits, you can actually support the child in offloading the disappointment they felt in the first place and listening to that disappointment. It's one of our tools, which we'll probably not have a lot of time to go into today, but a really helpful one related to sibling rivalry, where you really do need to set limits with each child so that they can offload that hurt that's not allowing them to think, that's not allowing them to function well, that's not allowing them to show their love and attention and care to the other child. Because the truth is, too, that children want to have good relationships. Like, that's a foundational piece of our family. And what Hand in Hand believes too is that we really do want good, strong, solid relationships, but there's things that get in the way of us being able to do that, or our children being able to do that with their siblings. And that's a big piece of it, is when they don't have this ability to think because connection has broken. So and it's just a natural physiological process that happens in the brain. And it's a very, very normal thing to happen too. And I just realized the time, that I've been talking a lot here. Do you want me to mention briefly one tool, Julie?
Let me get some resources in here and let's come back to some of the things to do and take questions.
Okay. Sounds good.
Before we do that, I want to encourage everybody here, one of the most important things that you can do for your family, no matter how many children you have or what their relationships with each other are like, is to reduce your own level of stress. One of the best ways to do that, to get some support around what you're doing and to connect with some other people who are thinking about things like this, is to join one of our discussion groups. There's one on Facebook. There's one by email if you prefer. There's Hand in Hand Discuss that's on the Yahoo. But whether you do it by email or on Facebook, by messages there, being part of the group threads there, it can be wonderfully reassuring to have other parents to talk to and to hear what's going on with their kids and how they worked on this problem or that problem. So I want to invite you to be part of those communities. If you go to the community section on the Hand in Hand website, you can get links to join whichever one of those might be right for you. There are some for local communities. There are some for people who have older kids. So if you don't see the right group for you, Hand in Hand Parent Support is the name of the main one on Facebook. But if you are looking for a local group or a more specific group, feel free to email me and I'll see what we have for you or figure out how we can start a new one for your area or your interest. The other thing that can help tremendously with sibling rivalry is a class called Taming Sibling Rivalry. Hand in Hand has put together all of our best thinking about the causes of sibling rivalry and what to do to really resolve in the long term, to resolve sibling rivalry issues and to help your kids have a great relationship that maybe you always wanted with your brothers and sisters or that you've always hoped that they could have. It's one of our online video classes. So it's in depth, but it's also inexpensive. And it gives you video material, video teaching from Hand in Hand founder Patty Whistler that's cut up into little segments so that you can grab it and go. The idea is that it'll be easily digestible and give you everything you need. It gives you hours of video in these little chunks. It gives you the booklet set all about this way of parenting and what to do. It's practical, it's clear, and it'll probably take you at least 3 weeks to go through the material and get a feel for the different steps that you can take to change the way your kids relate to one another and bring, shift the way that things happen in the family. You can take a year if you want. You can go back to the class and review things as much as you like, but it's not an instant fix. It's a considerable chunk of information that you probably want to take some time and practice and come back to. There are also free parenting calls, like the one you're in right now, that happen. There's two every month, and they're on different topics, and you can join us and ask questions. If the time is impossible for you, you can listen to the recording and send in your question ahead of time so that we record the answer for you. And that way you can still get some of the specific information you're hoping for. So I really encourage you to take advantage of those free calls. The next one, here, I'm going to grab it from the calendar. Kristen, do you know what the next one is? Is it about special time? Yes, the next one is April 9th, and it's all about the process of special time, which is very important in helping to begin to resolve sibling rivalry. Special time is a specific way of using your attention that focuses it on your child. It helps them really feel and take in your attention. So you can kind of fill up their need for attention. If you want to know more about that, you can join two of our instructors from the UK. No, one from the UK, one from Australia, who will be talking about that on April 9th. And there's calls like this all the time. So take a look at the schedule and figure out what might work for you, what you're interested in. If you find that you really want to dig in to how this hand-in-hand parenting stuff works and learn all the different tools, they work together as a system. And if you want to learn how to use them all and balance them all, you can take a hand-in-hand parenting class either locally with your local instructors or online. The class is 6 weeks long. It has an online classroom with video materials and reading, just like the video class does, but it also has 6 weeks of small group conference calls with the instructor where you get a chance to practice what you're learning, to ask all your questions, to share your frustrations, and to get the help that makes it specific for your family. Another thing that's fun to do if you see an instructor that's going through our training is near you. All of our instructors in training offer local study groups. It's usually free. It's usually, you know, at some central location, and you can come and join in with other parents who are reading about hand-in-hand parenting. They're learning about parenting by connection and get a chance to talk to other parents who are doing this and hear live and in person how it's going at their house and have our instructor trainee kind of guide you guys through questions you might have about the material or learning how to use all the different pieces together. If you've got a really challenging situation, like Kristen mentioned earlier, that there was trauma that the kids had to deal with and special needs in the family and just way too many things going on at once, there's always hand-in-hand consultants available to meet with you one-on-one to talk to you about what support is most useful to you at any given period of time. So if you want to invest an hour to exploring kind of what is going on with your situation and what tools would be most useful right now, a consultation can certainly help you do that. And Kristen, do you want to tell people a little bit about what a parents intensive is and who that would be right for?
Sure. The parent intensive is a 10-week course. There's videos every week over the 10 weeks, and then you get a support mentor phone call. I'm one of the mentors for the parent intensive over that 10-week period, and it's basically the first 6 weeks are very similar to the starter class, except you do get more phone time. And then we also get to delve in deeper into what's going on in your family and what particular issues do you want to resolve. And you also get more listening time too. And we really support you in helping you find listening partnerships as well to get that, help you get that set up in your life, which is really important. And that begins the week of April 4th, and registration is open until March 28th. It's a great, amazing class. you really get to know our tools very deeply too. Yeah.
That's where you really dig in.
Yes.
Okay.
And get lots of support too. Which is very helpful.
Now, let's go back to what you wanted to say about using some of the tools for sibling rivalry. Where
sure.
do you suggest parents begin?
Beginning first with listening partnerships, and I've already talked quite a bit about that, and there's resources on the Hand in Hand website on where they can, and the Facebook pages where they can actually post that they're looking for a listening partner or find other posts for that. Just because to be able to work on, you know, as you talked about, you've got a double whammy going on there, your own history plus what's currently going on. So start working on that history is a big help. And then the next thing that I would recommend relative to working with your kids is helping them feel that sense of connection that they so crave. And that's what special time is really, really good for. And what special time is you do it individually with one child at a time. And you have a set amount of time that you are with the child and you do whatever the child wants to do. So you might say to your child, okay, sweetheart, I have 15 minutes and I'll do anything you want to do. And so you let the child direct the play, you know, and you don't give any kind of educational content. So if your child wants to play baseball or practice hitting balls, you don't say things like, okay, square up at the plate or choke up on the bat or stuff like that. You just let the child show up exactly how they want to show up, and you just delight in however they want to play in that special time. And one of the huge values of special time is that we often find ourselves as parents so interrupted constantly relative to our family life and our time with our children. So what ends up happening is we spend a little time with our children and then we go do something else. And then we go spend a little time with our children and we go do something else. And we just keep doing that like all day long. And so our children sort of start to have this relationship with us, but it's sort of discombobulated. It's in some ways an interruption, and then sometimes our house chores are an interruption, but it's not necessarily consistent. And so what special time does, it doesn't have to be this, you know, half-day adventure. I typically do, my children are 13 and 10, and the special time with them is typically 15 minutes at a time. And that's enough. Like it's miraculous what special time can do. And in fact, just to give you an example is that, so I'm divorced and whenever they come back from their fathers, they're really disgruntled and they're very disconnected and they're just snarky. And, my daughter might stick her tongue out at me or, you know, and my son would like walk by me and, you know, hit me, you know, like he'll hit me with his shoulder or something and just like keep going and not think anything of it. And, it's just really a hard situation. And so the way I handle that is like I do special time with my kids and I swear literally like they become different people after we do special time because it helps them to relax. It's like, oh, I'm here. I'm relaxed. I'm being attended to. I'm being cared for. I matter. I'm being seen and heard and delighted in. Like they get that message in that short 15 minutes of time, completely shifts their.
Kristen? I think we have lost Kristen. But it's very easy for me to confirm exactly what she was saying about special time. I have also found this to be miraculous with helping my children with whatever is going on with them, especially useful before you're going to do something that you know is going to be challenging. So even if it's just 5 minutes, special time can make a huge difference because of the way it's structured. So if you're interested in more of the specifics about how special time works, you can go to our website and look for the 10-minute tool where there's a special time checklist and a link to a video series that will tell you what the directions are, what the challenges are, a little bit about what some things that can happen when special time ends, and it'll give you a feel for how you can use this really powerful tool at home. Kristen, I hope I finished up what you wanted to say about special time.
Sounds great. Yes, thank you.
There's more on the website if you want it. And now maybe you'd like to take a couple questions.
Sure.
I have one that somebody wrote in about. You can decide if you want to take this question or not. If one of our callers who's here with us live has a question, if you press star and then the number 2, that will raise your hand so that Kristen knows that you want to ask a question. But Kristen, let me put this one to you while people are thinking of their questions, and then you can decide. If you don't want to take this, it's fine. A mom wrote in when she saw the listing for this call. She wrote in and she said, I only have one child, but I still have a house full of sibling rivalry. My husband is very jealous of all the time I spend with the baby. Is there something I should be doing to help resolve this rivalry?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a great question. And I think it's not so uncommon either. My first response is to say that we can actually as adults also do special time with our spouses as well, or with our significant others. And it's a great way to give this adoring attention to our spouse, because as adults, we also need attention and we need connection. This is a very natural human phenomenon, and that's part of all of our lives. And so she can definitely do some special time with him to help him feel that sense of connection that he's craving. And I think it's great that he's, you know, saying that he needs it too. And so that would be definitely one way that that she could handle it.
Okay.
For sure. I mean, yeah, thank you.
Now that you say that, I'm remembering that we have several examples on the website of couples doing special time together.
Oh, sweet.
That might also be helpful.
Yeah.
A note back to her.
Sounds great.
Okay. Back to the kids. I have one more question that somebody wrote in. And if anybody here has a question that they'd like answered, press star and then the number 2, and that will raise your hand electronically, and Kristen will be able to see it. This parent wrote in saying they have a huge age gap. Their children are 7 years apart.
Uh-huh.
And they don't really interact at all. And they wanted suggestions for something to do to bring the ends of the family together. And if you want to think about that and answer the other questions of people that are here live, that's fine too. We can put that one on the end.
Okay. Let's, if there are questions for people online, that'd be great.
So I think our first one is from Jennifer.
Yes, thank you so much for taking the time to answer my question.
Sure.
So I've been reading several articles and been kind of trying to practice some of and use some of the tools in our family for, I don't know, about 6 months.
Uh-huh.
But, except for listening time, which has been really hard to try to find a partner, but in the process for that, and also looking at some of the classes. But right now, you talked about kind of being resourced, like being able to access resources internally. And
yes,
I feel like zero. Like I feel like I'm on the verge of blowing up all day long. I've got three, and part of it's just where we're at, but I've got 3, 5, 3, and 10 months. With a 10-month-old that's still not sleeping through the night, like up three times a night. So just, I mean, pure exhaustion. Mm-hmm. But the civil rivalry between is so intense right now between my two oldest, and then I can't leave the room for a second with my baby without them doing something to hurt them, like or to hurt her. Either being too rough, like my 5-year-old can't seem to interact with her, even what seems to be playfully, you know, like trying to get her to laugh in a way that's gentle without making her cry, like bursting out into tears. And it's such a huge trigger for me that I can't seem to be able to navigate it with a calm presence. And we've tried, you know, some stay listening with her and with my son, but I can't even seem to do that without getting really triggered. I know you have another term for it, but yeah, and so while I'm still trying to figure that out, I guess I don't know what to do while it's still so intense and there seems to be so much contention, just to kind of manage that while we start to heal. I don't know. I don't even know if my question's even very clear about even where to start. It just seems so overwhelming.
But. Yeah, I understand. And yes, I think your question is clear. I mean, I think there's probably several questions in there, but.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Which is fine. And you're doing a great job, and good for you for showing up on this call and, you know, trying the stuff that you're trying, because it's really hard to, you know, to be present as much as, you know, these tools require you to be, and, you know, and take care of yourself and take care of your kids and your family and everything else. It's a huge, huge demanding thing in your life for sure. And so, you're really doing a great job, and thank you for coming to the call. Is there a possibility for you to take, like, an online course?
Yeah, and I would love to do that. I guess I've just also just tried to figure out which one to take and which would be best fitting. I mean, I've looked at the intensive, but it's still a little unclear to me the difference between that and the starter class, other than it being 4 more weeks. And I guess I'm not clear if there's like extra time with the instructor, if it's a one-on-one call, or how that.
So, that's
works.
A great question. And I think either one of those would be great. Would be great for you, because you basically learn a tool a week. You get time to practice it and then come back and talk about what's hard about that tool or what your challenges are. And then you also get listening time, so you get comfortable with that process of doing listening partnerships.
Okay.
The main difference between the two classes, basically is that with the intensive, it's 10 weeks versus 6 weeks. And so we just get to go deeper with the tools. The calls are longer, the time for the calls. You have more time on the phone with the instructor.
Okay.
And so, you know, to ask very specific questions, and you get more listening time as well on those calls. So there's a huge benefit that way. And you just get to go deeper.
Other thing, I was just thinking, the other thing that might be really helpful for Jennifer about the intensive is you get access to all the online classes.
Okay.
So you'd have access to all the materials for the sleep class, all the materials for the sibling rivalry class.
I think you just pick one of those. I think you do the listing partnership class and then just one online class.
So we can make whatever materials make the right sense for your particular situation available during an intensive.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then what we do, like around week six, too, is we start to define what we call an emotional project. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like what we pick one big challenging area, and then we work very specifically on that challenging area. So I give you lots of time in a group call, but I'm giving each person lots of time to talk about, you know, what's going on, and then I give you feedback on here's some ideas on what to try, and then we also get listening time on it. So what I see with the families who are doing the parent intensive is they make huge progress in that 10 weeks on very specific family issues. So it's a great class, but yeah, I would recommend either one of those for you just because, you know, it seems like, you know, you're trying to tread water as hard as you can. You're doing a great job, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
And we want to shift that, you know, we want to help you to get into a flow. And so that does require all of our tools.
Yeah.
And some good practice with listing partnerships as well.
Yeah.
Would be a great step for you.
I'm sorry, take more time, but the starter class, so you do have access for the starter class with all of the online materials, all of the online classes in addition to the weekly call with the instructor. But with the intensive, you just have one of the online classes with the instructor each week?
Yeah, sorry. This has been a little confusing.
It's
the other way around. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. All right.
Great.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Kristen, our next question is from someone in Monterey whose phone number ends in 5509.
Hi, this is Elon.
Hi.
Hi, Elon. How are you?
Good, thank you. So I have a specific question about, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-month-old. He's here with us right now. So a lot of times my 2-year-old will lash out at her brother and want to smack him or just want to be jumping around him and getting close to him or stomping near, you know, just showing kind of almost playful but then aggression around him.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, wanting to she'll pick up more him. Not all the time. She also gives kisses and hugs, but when we stop it, or even for other things, when she starts to have, start crying or have a tantrum, and we want to stay listening, one of her reactions has pretty regularly been that she wants to go to her bed, and she wants to go, that's her comfort zone, I think, that's her,
uh-huh,
her zone. She wants to go get her blankie and suck her thumb and go lay in her bed. It's like, that's her retreat. And I guess my question is, should we be allowing that? To me, in some ways, it almost feels like it's an escape from having to stay and deal with her feelings.
Uh-huh.
But then I think, well, and, you know, is that just suppressing them? Because then basically that ends the crying or the tantrum. But
okay.
I just don't know if that's really the best thing for her necessarily, because it's it's a reaction to when she's feeling frustrated or angry.
Right.
It's like, I just want to get away from this and go to my bed.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Clear?
Yeah, it makes total sense. It sounds like you're really in tune with your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So good work with that. Yeah, and especially when you say that, like, it stops her crying or her tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty clear sign that she's, you know, just found, it's kind of like sucking the thumb or nursing. It's, you know, she's found this way to, like, not face her feelings so that she doesn't have to have big feelings. And, you know, you can't blame her because, you know, most of us have, you know, would prefer not to face our big feelings. And so, yeah, or at least there's times we wouldn't want to. But so what I, yeah, it appears to me, I mean, I would agree. That's how I would read that as well. And so, you know, I would just say to your daughter, you know, just like, you know, one of the times when she starts to have a tantrum, I would just say something like, no, we're not going to go in your room this time, sweetheart. You know, letting her know very gently and really warmly that, you know, we're not going to go into her room, and but say something like, you know, I'm going to stay with you, so that she knows that she has you, because it's your attention on her that really allows her limbic brain to sense that she's safe and she's connected, and she can actually then face those feelings and offload them. So it might even mean, you know, like sitting in front of her door, because she might try to fight to get there.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. Yeah, so it's something to think about and be prepared for, and be ready to listen to her too, because, you know, she's probably got some really big feelings behind what she's been, you know, avoiding. And so, yeah, so setting that limit of, you know, we're going to stay right here, sweetheart, and I am on your side. Something like that, to let her know that you're with her and you're going to be staying with her and you're serving as her, like, limbic anchor, knowing that you're, you know, you're keeping her safe. That's a really important piece of that stay listening, is that you're right there by her side as she goes into that feeling that's really, like, that she's trying to avoid.
Okay, because I just signed up for the starter class. And,
oh, great.
But it was with you, Kristen, actually, for, I guess we're starting next week, probably.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'll get a lot more information and tools to help both of them, to help her especially, though, because he's kind of just a bystander at this point. He's just 4 months
right.
old. It's, you know, having the physical, kind of random physical attacks. And it's weird because sometimes it's like she wants to hug and kiss him, and then other times she lashes out, and it's hard to understand even how to react. I mean, obviously stop it, but how soon to step in, because sometimes it looks like it's play or it's going to be okay, but then all of a sudden, boom, something happens, and like, do I just remove her completely from the room, or is it, you know, and part of when you're saying this about the bed, part of what is a challenge with that is that we are in a one-bedroom cabin, and we all four of us are basically in one bedroom, and if I shut my daughter out, but my son's in there or something, you know what I mean? It feels almost
right.
Like then she can feel like I'm letting him be in the room and not her or something like that. So it's kind of awkward that way. But so I've up until now, I've kind of allowed her to go to her bed when she says it, because I don't want to like exclude her from a room. Like that's her space too. But I see definitely how that could be maybe just the best thing at this point, is for her to have to confront her feelings.
Right.
Okay. But right. So when there is that, because sometimes when we see it coming, we can distract her and get her interested in something else. But if we miss it and we come in too late and she's smacked him on the head or, you know,
right.
Jumping, one of the things she loves to do is when we put him on the bed, she'll want to jump around him on the bed. And it's like she's playing, but it is dangerous. So is it, if we have to intervene in those situations, is it, what's the best thing to do once it's happened?
And so what's really helpful for us as parents is to, first of all, observe, like, you know, you've got sort of a history already of, you know, this happening. So it's nice to sort of start to notice, or maybe we can even think about, and because we already might already have the information, like, how often does this happen? Does it happen in a certain time of day? Are there certain patterns to it? Just, you know, really thinking about what's typical. So that what we oftentimes happens as parents is that we oftentimes say to ourselves, oh, I hope this doesn't happen. And we just hope and hope that it's not going to happen. And then, of course, it does. But rather being much more proactive about it and really making some mental notes about how often it happens and where and when and stuff like that. And then anticipating behaviors. So you may come to the conclusion, for example, that, you know, my daughter cannot be with my son for more than 1 minute because, you know, 50% of the time it turns into something where he gets hurt, for example. Like, you know, making some judgments about that and then anticipating the behaviors so that you're there ready and waiting for it to happen. So rather than hoping it doesn't happen, you're saying to yourself, I know this happens, and I know my child gets aggressive, and I'm going to be right there ready for it. And it puts us in a much different position, in a position about having a lot more power, and then being able to set a limit and to say to our child, you know, sweetheart, I can't let you do that. And also, like, when we're in that position, too, of waiting for it to happen, we get more skilled at looking for the early signs that our child is going off track. So, and these are typically nonverbal signs. And like one of the big signs oftentimes is that their body starts to get tense, for example. Like their jaw might start to tense up. Their movements start to become more, you know, not so loose, but a little bit more rigid. Maybe the child won't be able to make eye contact. So there's certain things you can look for that tell you kind of what's going on and if you're heading in that direction. And then you can also, I mean, you can wait and then set a limit, but you can also bring connection to the child, like playfully bring some connection so the child doesn't go off track too. There's lots of different ways you can handle it, and we can certainly explore that more in class, but there's a couple of ideas for you to get you started.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Look forward to next week.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so what she was mentioning, just to let other people know, is that I'm starting an online class through Hand in Hand. The starter class, a 6-week class, it begins next Thursday, and it's at 8 p.m. Pacific time or 9 p.m. Mountain time is when that starts. So it's after kids go to bed. There's some time for that class.
Anything else going on in Denver that you want to share?
Oh, yeah, I would love to. I'm starting an in-person a starter class in Denver. And that begins April 1st, and it's in a good central location right off I-25 in Spear, and it starts at 6:30 on Friday evenings for 6 weeks, starting April 1st. Looking forward to that.
Great. Thank you so much for being here today and taking all this time.
Yeah. Can I give also one suggestion, too, about the for the parent who has the children who are 7 years apart?
You can, or we can email it. It's up to you.
Okay. I'll just give a super quick, you know, response to that is, you know, Hand in Hand is great at being a proponent of, like, good physical play. I don't remember how old she said the youngest one is.
I don't know if I know how old the kids are. I just know they're seven
okay.
years apart.
Okay. So good physical play with lots of laughter, so like a pillow fight or some wrestling. You're obviously going to have to make sure the younger child is safe the whole time, but that is a great way, especially a good pillow fight. Like in my family, we typically – well, actually, we play dodgeball with pillows. It is one of our favorite games. We also do a pillow fight with music on. And so we're doing, like, acrobatics slash dancing slash pillow fighting. And the kids are just laughing and howling and having a great time. And it's especially fun if the parents get hit a lot and fall over dramatically.
Gives
the children the more powerful role, which can be super fun, and it can really build a lot of connection in the family. It's a great thing to do.
If you happen to be local to the Bay Area, the Hand in Hand Family Dance is coming up on April 9th, and it's essentially a pillow fight with music. And we would love for you to join us and come play for the family dance on the night. All right, Kristen, anything else you want to say by way of wrapping up here?
Just to let parents know that there is a lot. You know, we really didn't get to explore in depth the hand-in-hand tools. But there is so much that you can do as a parent to support those sibling relationships. It's remarkable. So I just, encourage you to tap into, there's lots of free resources, but there's also lots of just amazing resources. So I just strongly encourage you to take that step. You will never regret it.
We look forward to seeing you or hearing from you in our discussion groups or on another call. Thanks, everybody, for being here with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kristen. Have a good weekend.
Yes, you too. Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Hand in Hand is here to help you get the support you need for your work as a parent. To download podcasts on additional parenting topics, go to handinhandparenting.org/store. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.